Yeah, let me speak more directly to the mic and bring it closer to me. But I know those here in the room can hear me. I apologize for those that are online that could not hear me. I'll try to speak as loud as I can. In our staff report, you will find in our conclusion and findings that the proposed amendment to the two chapters I indicated, the goal there is to make sure that the changes that we are making is consistent with the Growth Management Act, our community framework plan, our other comprehensive plan, and applicable capital facilities element. We also believe that the proposed changes to the two chapters will make the plan to be consistent with the proposed code language if adopted by council, and that will also be consistent with the House bill I mentioned, I referenced below. That House bill is 1220. I don't believe, maybe we provided that in our staff report or a link to it. You can read that on your own, as well as consistent with the housing provision in RCW 3670A070, subsection 2B, and as I indicated, the Growth Management Act. With that, I would like to turn it over to Elizabeth Decker, who is our consultant with 3J Jet Planning, and she worked on the proposed code language, and we are very pleased with their work. So let me turn it over to Elizabeth Decker to go over the discussion on the proposed code update, unless you have questions for me before I turn it over to Elizabeth. Okay, take it away, Elizabeth.
All right, thank you so much, Oliver, and thank you, Chair and members of the Planning Commission, for having me here this evening virtually to talk in our second work session about some more details on the proposed package of code amendments to help implement the range of smaller single family and middle housing options, as Oliver was talking about. So if we could move a few slides ahead. Two more. Perfect. So just a quick refresher, this is our second work session, but it's been 2 months. So just to remind you what we're focused on, this package of code updates is specific to the R1 residential districts. Those are what are currently called the single family, but we're proposing to change that terminology to low density so that it's more inclusive of the broader range of housing types being proposed. And so within these updates, we're looking at both smaller single family detached homes. Similar to what we've seen in terms of historical development patterns, but also really expanding and refining the options for a wide range of middle housing. The county has had has a history with ADUs, cottage housing, and some townhouses, but expanding that scope further to include a variety of duplexes, triplexes, quadplexes, as well as a new compact lot option that is akin to cottage housing in terms of scale and density. Oh, next slide, please. So we have summarized these code updates in terms of six main concepts. We talked last work session about strategies to use the existing land more efficiently with smaller lot sizes in the existing zones. Talked about adding more housing variety in terms of those additional middle housing types I just mentioned, and then maintaining neighborhood scale for this greater variety of housing, setting some lot sizes, setbacks, heights, and other dimensional standards to help integrate this broader range of housing. And so our focus at today's work session is talking through the three additional code update concepts, starting with some clustered development options, which if you could go to the next slide, please. That's where we're talking about smaller scale, single family detached homes, but clustered in the sense that they are smaller scale and there's a greater number of these homes allowed on relatively modest size sites. We've seen This includes the cottage housing. We've seen cottage housing on sites, say 2 to 5 acres. So that's the scale of development we're thinking about. These housing options, both the smaller homes themselves and the way that they're arranged in a community, are compatible with subdivision, creating homeownership opportunities. But what we've seen is there's a lot of interest in the past 5, 10 years at the county level in using the cottage housing provisions. But there's really two different directions that, or at least two directions that folks are hoping to use the cottage housing to achieve. And so one is really a smaller scale, single family, but still street oriented, more of a traditional grid layout. And so that really pulls the cottage housing in one direction. And then another type of development that we're seeing is really looking at a more clustered arrangement of those same scale, single family, small homes, but really focused more on internal green spaces as a different way to lay out the site. And so rather than try to set one set of standards that can reconcile these very different site layout and orientation options, the proposal is to refine the existing cottage housing option to really tighten that cluster focus, bring the homes in towards the common open space, but simultaneously introducing a new compact lot option is what we're terming it, that allows for the same scale of development in terms of the smaller lots and the higher density, while organizing it around a more traditional street-oriented, each home with its own street frontage and access. And we also saw one additional opportunity for more flexible development opportunities for these smaller scale single-family homes, which was to reduce the minimum size for a PUD. Right now, a PUD, the minimum is 6 acres, and there could be an option, as I mentioned, we're seeing this interest in some sites more in the 2 to 5 acre range. So the proposal is to bring that minimum down in case there is an additional creative, flexible opportunity that is beyond what we're proposing could meet the cottage housing and the compact lot options. So next slide, please. So again, when we're talking about these cottage clusters, the last couple decades, as we've seen cottage cluster development, it really is this sort of traditional cluster of the homes fronting onto a shared green lawn. In the picture or the site layout on the right, you see, I believe, what are some, shared community garden spaces. The parking is really pushed to the perimeter of the site in order to maintain that focus on the homes and the shared open space within the living area. So we've seen a lot of interest in this type. A lot of codes have been written to accommodate this form of cottage clusters. And yet there are some challenges. Not every site has sort of a generally square or rectangular orientation that can facilitate this, or folks may find in a certain market that there's demand for different parking configurations or different sizes, different types of open space. So what we're seeing, next slide, is that there is indeed some interest. This is a recent cottage project proposal here in Clark County. There is some interest for this cluster, more clustered development. All of these homes are proposed to front onto these shared open spaces, sort of shown in green squiggles here. What's interesting about this proposal is that they did put all of the parking on what looks like the north side, the top of this site plan diagram here. So did move it away from the individual units, but this isn't the most prevalent cottage housing design style that we've site layout that we've seen. Instead, we've also seen, next slide, please, a lot of interest in how to get these homes fronting on maybe a more traditional street, create more of that traditional street-loaded development, and pushing some of these common spaces to the sides and the rear of properties so that folks can share them in different ways, come together in more of a backyard. So some examples of alternative layouts, you can see really this focus with the orange squiggly lines here on getting vehicle circulation through the site so that there's different ways to get parking closer to individual units. Of course, anybody that's carried groceries in, from your car to your house in December in the Pacific Northwest can appreciate having a closer parking spot. But it does have some impacts in terms of the layout, and the existing cottage housing standards weren't as conducive to this type of layout as might have been desired. So next slide, please. And so again, instead of trying to make the cottage standards fit, the development pattern we're seeing while leaving behind that more clustered option, we're proposing two separate sets of standards. And they differ in a couple key ways. Again, the cottages were really trying to refine that more classic clustered home option around a green space. And so the requirement there is for clusters of 4 to 12 homes, but no maximum number of clusters. Both these housing types allow for 2 times the density of the underlying zone in exchange for these smaller unit sizes. For cottages, that's 1,600 square feet with a 25-foot height limit. In the compact lots, the overall site itself is limited to three or less net acres. The unit size and height are not proposed to be regulated beyond what's regulated already in the R1 zones, but the idea is that the smaller lot sizes themselves, while meeting the individual setbacks on those lots, will then result in unit sizes that are proportional for those sites. The open space treatment is also different for these two types of cottages. Again, that there's that focus on the common open space. We're making private yards optional in the proposed code updates, whereas private yards will be the primary type of open space in compact lots. Certainly there could be common open space as you sometimes see in a subdivision or a PUD, but that will be optional as the compact lots to standards are written. And then again, the site orientation is really the key distinguishing factor in terms of the cottages facing onto the common open space, the street frontage or a pedestrian path, and then compact lots really can each unit can face the street and have more of a face-to-face street frontage approach. So next slide, please. And then the next piece, when we look at pulling together all the different housing types that we've talked about, including at the previous work session, duplexes, cottages, townhouses, we really saw the need to prioritize room for housing by reducing the parking minimums. Now, you all know in this business that the development code sets the minimums. That is not, the county or the code trying to establish the optimum parking ratio for every individual site. The parking minimums are really, as they say, about setting a minimum and then allowing some flexibility. We've already heard from developers that in some cases, they might be interested in using these new proposed minimums. In other places, they thought that the type of housing or the location or the market segment they're aiming at would more likely prefer a larger number of parking spaces. And so that flexibility will remain in the code. However, opening up the opportunity on sites where those factors are different really does allow that opportunity to prioritize housing, which we desperately need. So the proposal around parking is to look at targeted adjustments. So the cottage parking is proposed to be reduced to 1 space per unit. That's also the same for the compact lot development. The duplex, triplex, and quadplex parking also proposed to be set at 1 space per unit. And then the townhouse parking approach is pretty similar. If we could go to the next slide, just shifting some of the guest parking from being on-site to being more shared parking spaces. And so the difference there, just to pick up on the townhouses, it's currently 2.5 spaces per unit. And that 0.5 space is, it has to be met on-site, and so that generally gets rounded up. And we thought that there was an opportunity to reduce the on-site parking for each individual lot to 2 spaces. That's akin to a single-family detached home. And then instead, what we heard the concern about was, what if you have guests over? What if you're having a party? What if it's Christmas Eve? Or what if it's a graduation party, right? To pick a more seasonal example, where are those folks going to park? And so to more directly address that need for shared on-street parking that can be more flexible depending on who's having a party that weekend or who's having folks over for a barbecue, The idea is to move that to either on street or shared off street lots at a ratio of one space per three townhouse units, so specifically guest parking. And so the net there works out to 2.33 spaces. That's not that different than the 2.5 that's currently required, but the change is really about where and how that parking is intended to serve different uses. And otherwise, you see the those changes that we talked about, the one space per unit for the plexes, and then the cottage and the compact lots going to one space each. There's also guest parking with the compact lots. And then accessory dwelling units, the current code already offers numerous exemptions. So the majority of ADUs are not required to do parking. And with additional changes at the state level in ADU legislation, as well as just an opportunity to be more clear in the code about who's eligible, just proposed to simplify things and make it a straight zero spaces for all units so that all ADUs are exempt from parking. Again, can still, if it fits on your lot, makes sense for the individual circumstance, absolutely can provide parking, but these are the minimums proposed. Next, please. And then the final piece, as you all know, is getting these projects that we're talking about that are proposing to meet the standards, getting them through the permitting process. And so overall, of course, we know that more streamlined permitting, faster permitting, more direct, clearer communication, and processes can really accelerate housing development and reduce costs around that. And so the overall approach with this whole project has been to apply clear standards, so less discretionary language like housing that is compatible with its neighbors, and more, specific numerical standards or percentages of facades and front porch sizes. So those clear standards, and then that sets up the opportunity to use very clear reviews as well for those housing types. And so that means that we're proposing to use the building permit level review for single family homes. That's consistent with the current approach for all ADUs, duplexes, and townhouses that are on individual lots. The townhouse subdivision itself will still need to go through the subdivision process, as well as for single family homes or duplexes if they're creating lots. But the individual dwellings themselves would only need to go through a building permit level review. The proposal is to use a type 1 site plan review for triplexes and quadplexes. Right now, those need a type 2 review, the same as a 100 unit apartment complex. And we heard pretty loud and clear that that was a real obstacle to development, and really just not proportional with the scale of the buildings and the scale of impacts and standards that are being triggered. But we did hear also from from our engineering colleagues that it was important to have a site plan review process, because there can be some utilities, but mainly street frontage improvements that might get triggered with those projects. And engineering wanted to be sure that they had a chance to review those projects and impose conditions where necessary. And then the larger format projects where we're looking at multiple units, the cottages, the compact lots, and townhouse developments are proposed to go through a type 2 site plan review, more proportional to the scale of those developments. And if those developments, for most of those, will require subdivision, cottages, it's optional, whether they are individual lots or one larger lot. If they do need subdivision review, that will remain in type 3 review, just as is currently processed. So, next, please. And then to follow up, we had a few points that some have evolved since our previous work session, and some are in response to your earlier comments. So the first piece is that we talked about some refinements to the ADU code that are in this package. And in the meantime, the state has passed HB 1337, which includes new ADU requirements for the county. It's one of the strongest ADU bills in the country. I've heard some experts say that it is, the new leader in the pack. So it will apply to the county effective with the new comprehensive plan update. But when we analyzed the code and what was proposed, we were 90% of the way there to meeting those requirements. And so we saw the opportunity to make a few remaining amendments a few further changes, and just, you know, cross compliance with HB 1337 off of our list. So many of those already in the draft, things like not having owner occupancy requirements, not having off-street parking requirements, allowing ADUs outright. But the few refinements that are in the proposed code that you will see at your public hearing in 2 weeks. The first is permitting two ADUs per lot. And that was already in the proposed code, but a clarification is that they can be in any attached or detached configuration. So it could be a single home with two attached ADUs. It could be a single home with two separate accessory structures in the back. It could be a single home with one detached accessory structure in the back that has two units in it. It could be one attached, one detached. So there is some flexibility there that is built into the bill. And we saw the opportunity to match that. And then the other was a change to the maximum size. In the current code, and we had not initially proposed any changes to the 800 square foot size limit for an ADU, but the bill increases the guaranteed maximum size to 1,000 square feet for ADUs. And so we proposed to change that at this time. And there was also specific language in the bill that 1,000 square feet had to be measured based their definition of gross floor area for measuring that 1,000 excludes any garage space. And that's to clarify that if someone's building an ADU over a garage, say what's sometimes called a carriage house, that garage space just doesn't count towards the 1,000 square feet. So we added specific language in the draft code to reflect that. And then the next follow-up we had for you, next slide, if you would, please. Was talking about ownership options. So we heard some questions at the previous work session about what different ownership options. Oh, this image did not work out right. But I'll just talk through it anyways. That what ownership options would be available for some of these middle housing types, whether they'd be rental or ownership. And so to clarify, and there's also been additional state legislation on this topic since we last talked. So there will be both options for ownership as well as rental housing through this package of middle housing. The townhouses and compact lots that we're proposing, all of those must subdivide to create fee simple lots for each unit. That is intrinsic in their definitions that it's a single home on a single lot, same as single family detached. Cottages, under the current regulations, and we don't propose any changes, have the option to subdivide to create those individual fee simple lots or to retain the original parent parcel, either turn it into condos or rent each individual unit out. I believe the county has mostly seen developers choose to subdivide those cottage projects and sell them, but there is some flexibility there. And then I know the question last time that came up is, what about the duplexes, the triplexes, the quadplexes, even ADUs? Is there an opportunity to split the lot and sell those individual units for fee simple? And we had a chance to do some research, and the state also clarified, or the legislature clarified, that there is not yet an option to do that. That has been pioneered in Oregon, but it was a companion bill after middle housing had been passed for about 2 years. The Washington State Legislature considered a bill that would explicitly authorize this land division for middle housing, and it was not passed in this session. But, you know, with other legislation passed this session that authorizes more middle housing, there's a strong chance that that could be coming. It's just not here yet. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. Another piece of note is that there were some further reforms to condo law in this legislative session. I'm not the expert on condo law, but I thought that it was, you know, hopeful to note. Would love to, you know, we'll talk more at our forum and get some more feedback from the development community about whether they think this could help create another ownership opportunity. But there is talk about that that may come online as an opportunity to help with some of these plexes or even the cottages, other options. But that's what we see in terms of the land division opportunities. So with that, next slide, please. That is the bulk of the code information I have to share for you. I'll turn it over to questions and discussion. But just to wrap up by pointing out our project review schedule, that this is our second work session. In the interim, we had the opportunity to speak at DEEB last month, heard some feedback from them. And then our next step after tonight's work session, we'll be moving into the public hearing in 2 weeks' time. Following that, based on your recommendation, we will be looking at a work session and review by County Council. So with that, next slide just says thank you and turn it over to you for questions and discussion. Thanks.
Gentlemen, back to you. Is there any questions or discussions regarding this? Go ahead and just jump right in if you'd like to.
Hey, Elizabeth, Brian Halpert here. Hey, one of the deep questions regarding excluding garages that saw the House bill included, but was porches also excluded from counting as gross square footage area?
What's interesting is we have two definitions now of gross floor area, and gross floor area in the county code does not reference porches, but it has to be enclosed space. So I'm not aware of how porches would currently trigger the definition of gross floor area or the definition that is in the state bill for ADUs. But if there are specific issues that have come up, I also saw that in Deeb's comments and would love to follow up. Do you know of any?
No, I don't, but it makes sense not to include the porch in a gross floor area, even though the roof may come over the porch and make it look like it's part of the gross floor area. Mm-hmm. But I liked their suggestion of conditioned space. That be included for that calculation. Yeah, thanks, Elizabeth. Otherwise, yeah, really good recap.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, thanks for the presentation. A couple questions. Why the 1,600 square foot max on the smaller houses?
For the cottages.
Correct. A thoughtful number, meaning not that it wasn't without thought, but what was the reasoning behind that versus like 1,800 square foot? Because there's kind of a nexus for bedrooms, bathrooms, that kind of, you can do it 18, but it gets hard at 16, you know, kind of thing. So.
Yeah, thanks for the question. The 1,600 is the existing number in the county's code. And so we did not explore changing that limit as part of this. Cottage code has always been about limiting the scale of the homes in exchange for getting twice as many of the homes. I would just say for context in terms of thoughtfulness, we did take a look at some other jurisdictions in the region as well as outside the region, and cottages have been, some other places limit them to 1,000 or 1,200 square feet. So 1,600 is on the more generous side already. So that's why we propose to keep that number where it is and expand some other options like the compound plot option that doesn't have a square footage maximum.
Okay. And part of the other reason I think about the square footage is at that 200 square foot, it actually changes your dollar per square foot calculation on an appraisal quite significantly. But from a build cost, it's pretty minor because of it doesn't trigger another heating unit system and different things. And then so it might almost being a little bit larger might make the home more affordable. And then you can add an additional bedroom for the families that we're trying to create affordability for. So it's kind of this, it seems ticky-tacky, but when you get into the numbers of appraisals and home ownership and having enough bedrooms, I would think 1,800, I would vote for more of an 1,800 type of thing. Was there any discussion on shared, like things like shared infiltration options when we're starting to do denser housing? to meet the water quality codes, where we can drop maybe a community infiltration system within an alley, things like that?
Yes, we did speak with our engineering colleagues about stormwater options, and they said that community systems can be proposed.
Okay. Does the on-street, so I just to be clarified, the on-street parking would count towards guest parking, the guest parking minimums in like a townhome scenario?
Correct. There are two options to add parking that meets the guest parking. That's either on-street or you can create an off-street shared lot. And the on-street can also be angled parking, not just parallel, depending on the street that's chosen.
Okay. And then one last question. When we look at like what we call duplexes or fourplexes, triplexes, do those have to be attached in order to qualify for that? Or is there any thought within the code that you can have what we consider a triplex? I actually had brought an example of a project I'd built where I have, in essence, three single family houses on a 5,000 square foot lot. But they're technically built under like a triplex. I mean, we condoized them, but I could either build a triplex or I could build multiple houses, but they're under a condo covenant. So was there any flexibility in the code to define that? So we didn't, if you had the lot and you wanted to, like, instead of doing a duplex, you wanted to do two basically cottage style houses right next to each other. Would that be allowed, or is there a consternation just because they're not stuck together?
So the proposed definitions require them to be a shared structure. The definition is a building with two, three, or four dwelling units within it. There are jurisdictions that have explored what they call detached plexes, so a detached duplex, a detached triplex, quadplex. And I know that we spoke about those options on our initial outreach as well as with our forum. And I'm not remembering off the top of my head why we didn't pursue that further, what the specific comments were in favor of attached. But right now the proposal is for attached, and if they're interested in detached, that's something that has been done. We could explore further direction from Planning Commission.
So would it be too late to consider a detached plex option?
I think that this is in the Planning Commission's discretion at this point. We'll be getting this for a public hearing. I can tell you that we have published the code for the public hearing. We can't change the draft at this point, but certainly if you and your fellow commissioners have that or any other changes, we'll be looking to hear that at the public hearing and making changes as appropriate.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Go ahead, Eldon.
So Elizabeth, on the page for streamline permitting process. So when someone tells me they're going to streamline a process, I take that to mean I'm going to get it faster and cheaper. Is that true in this case?
I think the primary ways in which permits will come faster and cheaper as a result of these proposed changes is that we are proposing to decrease the level of review. So for example, taking those triplexes and quadplexes from a type 2 site plan review to a type 1 site plan review involves less fees and less time for review. Taking some of the duplexes and ADUs from a site plan review into a building permit only fee or building permit review only similarly decreases the fees, time, and costs associated with it.
Is there a number associated with that?
I don't have the fee schedule in front of me. That's something we could look into with our partners in community development.
And the reason I'm asking, if you say, okay, it takes us this long and costs this much now, these proposed changes, we hope to have this time and cost, which I think is a real advantageous.
Yeah, we'll see if we can look at quantifying that.
All right, thank you.
Okay, anyone else?
I do have a, I got a question. Hey, Matt Swindell here. Okay, so I'm probably not seeing this right, but I just want to ask a clarifying question. So I've got a 7,500 square foot lot with a, I don't know, 1,500 square foot house on it. I can build a 1,000 square foot ADU, and it sounds like I can split off the two of them, and I can split my lot up and sell those. In, is that what I'm hearing? Is that
everything except the split your lot up piece is what you're hearing.
So you can build two of them on there, mm-hmm. and then rent them out.
And right.
And I saw the yet, but the yet is they're thinking about that.
Right. The legislature is considering options. We don't know what they would look like.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It is in the bill now.
Wow.
That you can have two. Yes.
Wow. I can see a lot of rental units coming. That happens. Developers going to be buying those houses up left and right and putting in ADUs, putting them off, and selling. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, we
create neighborhoods of rental homes. Like, you know what I mean?
And just to clarify, like currently you could just, once that goes into effect, we'd be allowed to build a house. 2,000 square foot units, condo-wise the whole thing, and sell them individually.
Correct.
It's still one tax parcel, but you could do it
under. You can do it now.
You can do it now under a condo association.
Yeah, condo.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but single family detached is much cleaner.
Well, condos can be detached.
What I'm saying is they're just the land, though. You don't want. Anyway, all right. I just wanted to make sure. So it sounds like it's coming down the pipe there. So okay. Thanks.
Yeah, and Brian, I don't speculate too much about what the legislature might do, but in the event that the legislature did allow this lot splitting, it would actually allow more ownership of those individual units. And so, you know, again, rental ownership, there's benefits to both. The county population needs both. But if it were to allow this lot splitting, that would allow more ownership of those individual units that might result in more ownership rather than rentals.
Bryant, Steve, do you have anything?
I have none.
I don't have any either. Thank you, Carl.
Okay, thanks. Okay, great job. We appreciate that, Oliver. And good job. Any more discussion on that? Any more questions from anybody? Okay, with that said, we will now move on to comments from the members of the Planning Commission. So one of the things that I want to bring up is because we have so much stuff on the docket coming up and it gets involved, and because it's just necessary for us to know where everybody's at, it's been asked that we try to get our vacation time if we're going to take it. And if you're like me, I have no idea till the day before or the week before or whatever, but to do our best to, let people know, so make sure we have a quorum. We were okay last week, but there was a bit of panic, and then of course, heaven forbid if we all answer at the same time, whether we're not supposed to do that. So just go right to Sonia on that and just say you're going to be here or not be here, or it would be better if you're a couple weeks ahead, to like say, because I'm going to be missing a good chunk of July. So just and you probably will be missing too. So,
no.
Well, look at you. Yes.
Calvin Wolfe mentioned he'd be gone the month of
July. Yes, that's two. Here's the other thing is I can do, as long as Matt takes the chair, I can still be on. I hadn't called Matt. I usually try to call him and let him know if he's going to take over. So for me, I'll still probably be on. I can find a way to be on. It'll just be sitting on my yacht in the Caribbean. I'm kidding. I don't have a yacht. We're paid so well. Oliver does such a good job. I'm kidding. No, we just want to make sure if we get ahead of it for June, July, and August. And then it's okay, just like not the last minute like I do. Questions? All right, that is good for the evening. Anything else? If not, we're going to adjourn it.
Donation. We have.